Today's text is the gospel reading for the day. I'll read it again. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, of all the festivals and holy days of the church year, this one might sound the strangest, the circumcision of our Lord. That normally isn't a subject of polite conversation, and to speak of circumcision and Jesus may seem a little bit degrading to our sensibilities. However, perhaps our sensibilities need a little repentance. So we celebrate the eighth day, this eighth day of Christmas, for a very important reason. Behold, your infant Savior is at work to save you. It was God's law from Genesis chapter 17 for the rest of the Old Testament. On the eighth day of a baby boy's life, his parents were to have him circumcised. And if he was circumcised, then he was a part of the nation of Israel. If he wasn't circumcised, he was to be cut off from the people because the baby boy had broken the covenant. Genesis 7, verse 14 reads, "Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Interesting verse for all those who believe in the innocence of children or the so-called age of accountability. This was a sign that God gave for the men of Israel, and he provided no alternatives. A full-grown man who desired to be counted among the Israelites also had to undergo circumcision before he was numbered among them. An interesting requirement for those who would water down adult confirmation classes on the pretext that one should place no obstacles before a catechumen. If you and I were to choose a sign to mark God's people, I dare say it wouldn't be this one. But the fact is that this is the sign that God chose. If a man was going to be part of the people of God, he had to obey God's commands. Obedience started already when he was 8 days old, when he was circumcised. He was officially under the law. If he wasn't circumcised and continued that way, he obviously didn't want to be part of God's covenant for his people. So it was the law, circumcision on the eighth day for boys or else. 8 days after Jesus was born, Jesus was also circumcised according to the law. But here's the key question. Why? Why would Jesus, of all people, be circumcised? Did he need to become part of God's people? Hardly. He was already God's son, so why did Jesus submit to circumcision? Was it that he had no choice as an infant? Again, no. Although a baby, according to his human nature, he was the all-powerful creator according to his divine nature. So why was Jesus circumcised? This is the answer: to declare himself also to be under the law. And so Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 read this way: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." So on the eighth day of his life, still the tiniest of babies, Jesus declared that he had come to keep the law, that he had come to keep the law for all those sinners who could not keep the law. Remember how the law works. To Old Testament Israel, God gave his holy law. And the law says, in order to be God's people, you must keep all of these commandments perfectly. Be circumcised. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and strength and mind. Keep these laws and you're holy. Break them and you're not. That's how the law works. And as you are well aware, the law is impossible for sinners to keep. If our only hope of salvation was to keep God's law perfectly, then all of our life from infancy to death, we'd have no hope of paradise at all. We'd have only the grim certainty of God's judgment for our sin. That's why Jesus is born in flesh, just like you and me. He puts himself under the law in order to keep it for us, on our behalf. He's born to live a perfectly holy life, keeping every one of God's commandments, and so he starts by being circumcised. And he's born to go to the cross and die, suffering God's judgment for the sins of the world. You and I are used to celebrating Jesus' birth at Christmas, his death on Good Friday, his resurrection at Easter. Along the way, we also give thanks for his baptism and transfiguration and more. However, the circumcision of our Lord is also an important day to remember, because there you see him from the earliest of ages, keeping the law for you, to save you. Keeping that in mind, let's remember two more things about his circumcision. First, it is here that he is given the name Jesus. And that name means Yahweh saves. As Jesus submits to circumcision, he is the Son of God at work to save you. Second, this work of his is for your salvation at the age of 8 days, and it already foreshadows the ultimate act of salvation on the cross, where he will shed his blood once again for your sins. Already at day 8, the infant sheds his blood for you. So what does this mean for you, this circumcision of our Lord? Well, each day provides you with all sorts of opportunities to keep God's law by loving God and by loving your neighbor. You can deal kindly and politely with your spouse. You can patiently instruct and care for your children. You can be a model of patience and understanding to the driver who has just cut you off in the road. You can put the best construction on the odd behavior of others and help squelch gossip when it arises. You can, but you probably won't. Not always, and not perfectly anyway. You'll get crabby and impatient. I know you do, right? Okay? You'll let gossip go and maybe even pass it along sometimes. You'll snap at your kids and maybe your spouse. At times you'll sin in far worse ways than these. And if you honestly examine yourself according to God's holy law, you'll be quick to confess that you do sin every day, often and much. Therefore, you can't save yourself by keeping God's law. And so you remember Jesus' 8th day, and you remember that the baby is at work to save you. He is shedding his blood to keep his law. And from there, he grows up and keeps all of God's commands perfectly for the express purpose of giving you the credit for his perfect obedience. Furthermore, he goes to the cross and dies for your sin and disobedience so that you might be forgiven. Remember the circumcision of the Lord and marvel that the Christ is working for your salvation even there. And remember this too, circumcision was an objective mark. There was no maybe and maybe not. A circumcised male was part of God's people, not maybe a part of his people. He could be faithless and forsake the Lord and be lost, but that didn't mean that God had waffled. God no longer commands circumcision. Instead, he gives holy baptism for both male and female. In Colossians chapter 2, St. Paul tells us this. He says, in him, that is in Jesus, you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also are raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. There. You see, forgiveness is not a maybe or maybe not thing. In other words, dearly baptized, you have no need to wonder, did Jesus really keep the law for me? Did he give forgiveness for me too, for my sins? Baptism is a marvelous objective outpouring of his grace. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, God's word tells us. And how do you know that Jesus kept the law for you on the eighth day? You know because of what happened in the 30th year of his life there on the cross. Because there on the cross, he demonstrates his forgiveness for you once again, fully. And now he gives you that forgiveness in the humble means of grace, his word and sacraments. You know, throughout history, circumcision was an object of scorn by Israel's enemies. What kind of God would command that kind of a sign? And how could it help anyway, they would say. Such questions are always asked by those who do not believe. Not just about circumcision in the past, but about the sacraments today. How can water do such great things? How can that supper be anything more than bread and wine? The answer is simple, and it's clear. They give forgiveness. They give life and salvation because God says that they do. He attaches his word to the water, to the bread, and to the wine, to give the forgiveness of sins. Your sinful flesh might whisper, what proof do you have of God's love and grace and forgiveness for you? But you boldly declare back, well, I'm baptized. I have God's own word that I am forgiven. One more thing about that Jesus' circumcision teaches. It proclaims once again the wonder that the Son of God has taken on human flesh. He is really human, a human being. He can lose blood. His body is susceptible to harm like our bodies are. It can get weak and tired. It can be scourged and nailed and pierced and killed. He has really taken on a body like yours and mine. A body which grows weak and tired. Like yours, a body subject to arrhythmia and a rising PSA level and all other sorts of wages of sin that we see in our bodies, a body just like ours, so that he can sacrifice his body in our place and raise us up again to everlasting life. So remember the circumcision of our Lord and rejoice. Jesus was born to live for you, to keep the law for you, to die in your place and to rise from the dead for you. He gives you all of this in his means of grace so that you can be sure that you are forgiven all your sins. While from his mother's bosom fed, his precious blood he wills to shed. A foretaste of his death he feels, the promise of his love reveals. Lord, circumcise our hearts, we pray, and take what is not yours away. Write your own name upon our hearts, your law within our inward parts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.